Hey everybody, I'm Eric, and today I watched week 7 of WWE 2017, which ran from February 13th, the day after Elimination Chamber, and ended with NXT on February 15th. We had Raw episode 1238, SmackDown episode 913, 205 Live episode 12, NXT episode 378, and Main Event episode 229. This was a pretty great week of shows. Even my least favorite show is still pretty good. That would be Main Event. The only reason it didn't rank higher than anything else was, you know, it was just some standard matches. We'll talk about that later on. Actually, I'll talk about that right after I talk about Raw. Since it's with the Raw roster, I think it makes sense to talk Main Event after Raw. For the most part, this episode of Raw was great, and it's mainly for like the last hour of stuff. I do watch, a reminder, as with every week, I watch the Raw version, or rather the Hulu version of Raw, which is 90 minutes as opposed to the 110 minute, or however long the 3 hour version is, with the commercials cut out of it. So I did miss out on some stuff that I saw highlights of later, maybe not highlights, posts about later, some discussion later. There was a Cesaro versus Enzo match that I did not see. I did not see anything with the cruiserweights. There was something else with, I don't know. Let's talk about the stuff that I did watch, starting with Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows challenging Roman Reigns to a 2-on-1 match. That was kind of fun to see, and they totally beat him up. They got disqualified for beating him up too much. But then, you know, I would have been happy with that ending of it. But then Roman Reigns fights his way out of Magic Killers. The match had already ended, and kind of puts them back in their place, so to speak, and Roman Reigns stands tall, and he's not beat up enough to come out later to interfere with another match, which we'll talk about in just a second. Stephanie did all the talking stuff at the top of the show. She said that Mick Foley, she gave him the week off because of the bad calls he made last week. So, okay, I guess. We had the debut. We've waited so long, 17 weeks, for the debut of Emelina. And I thought it was pretty funny. She comes out and says, "Now you've seen the makeover of Emma into Emelina, and now you'll see the makeover of Emelina into Emma." And then leaves again. I was like, oh, God. I hope we see it next week. And we don't have to wait another freaking 17 weeks for that makeover to happen. That would be, oh man, I would be pretty mad about that. I hope Emma can finish this, the unmakeover, come back right away, and maybe even challenge. Maybe, yeah. Oh, maybe she challenges Bayley right away. Oh, jumping ahead. Bayley is the new Raw Women's Champion. That's pretty exciting. Kind of expected. It's like, Charlotte's never going to lose on a pay-per-view. But, yeah, exciting. And the match was really good, too. There are a lot of things I liked about the match. She won with the belly, Bayley to belly. And Dana Brooke came out, tried to interfere. We had a figure four put on Charlotte by Bayley. But that was, she got out of it and then put the figure eight on Bayley. But that was when Dana Brooke tried to interfere. She's locked in there. The ref is focused on the combatants in the ring. And Sasha Banks comes out with her crutch. I mean, she doesn't really need the crutches now, does she? She got out there quick. She got there quick and she didn't actually need to use the crutch. But she did use the crutch as a crutch for Bayley to get the championship by taking out Dana Brooke and then nailing Charlotte right where it hurts, and breaking up that hold, and Bayley's able to make the comeback. I mean, it could be argued. It is arguable. It definitely is arguable that if neither of them had interfered, that Bayley would have won. So Sasha's involvement is just like counteracts Dana Brooke's involvement. So they're end up on an even playing field, kind of. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe Emma will challenge Bayley for the title, or maybe because now we don't know what's going to happen at Fastlane. Is that going to be the rematch between Charlotte and Bayley? Probably to continue the pay-per-view streak. Maybe Emma challenges for it. Maybe Sasha turns on Bayley and wants her title back or something like that. I don't know. We're left hanging. Since it was the main event, we didn't have much story development after that. We didn't have a talking smack type show after it to elaborate on what's going on. So we'll just have to wait and see next week. Okay, what happened before that? We had Braun Strowman versus Mark Henry. Braun Strowman wins with the power slam. He says, "World's strongest man, ha!" That was probably my favorite moment of that match. After Strowman won, Roman comes out and hits him with a couple of Superman punches, but he doesn't really go down. Strowman musters the energy, gets his energy back up, and hits Roman with a running power slam. So we have Strowman looking strong. And if Strowman doesn't end up with the Universal title before the end of this year, I'd say before SummerSlam. If Strowman isn't Universal champion before SummerSlam, then what's happening? What is going on? If he becomes it at SummerSlam, that'll work also. But yeah, he's just destroying everybody. Get him in there, have him, maybe Goldberg wins against Kevin at Fastlane. Goldberg becomes the Universal champion. He has like 4 weeks, 3 weeks as champion, going into WrestleMania, goes against Brock Lesnar, and then whoever wins out of that, then Strowman just destroys them the next night on Raw. I would enjoy that. They get this headliner WrestleMania moment, and then boom, Braun Strowman, Universal Champion, the day after WrestleMania. We'll see, I guess. Up next, we had a Samoa Joe interview. Great interview. I liked it. The only quote that I wrote down, the whole thing was really good. He's talking about how people suck and everything. And he says, redesign, rebuild, reclaim, re-injure Seth Rollins. That'd be a great shirt. Joe should put out a shirt that all proceeds go to Samoa Joe. It's a Samoa Joe shirt, not a Seth Rollins shirt. During that interview, he talks about Sami Zayn, saying that he's not like Sami Zayn. I'm someone that he can actually count on, that Triple H can count on. So Sami Zayn defeats Handsome Rusev with a Helluva kick. Yeah, I think everybody, most of Reddit seems to be on board with it. We all got to call him Handsome Rusev. If he doesn't have his actual first name, is Rusev his first name? I think his actual first name. Well, not his actual first name, but you know what I mean. Handsome Rusev defeated with a Helluva kick. Which you would think would be more painful with that mask on, maybe, because then it distributes it over to the rest of his face, but in a less harmful way, at least as physically damaging, but more pain. I don't know. I've never worn one of those faces. I've never broken my nose. I hope I never break my nose. I might break my nose someday. Not like on purpose, but anyway, Sami Zayn, he calls out Samoa Joe. He's like, shut up, calling my name out there, and come out here and I'll show you what's what, or whatever. And Samoa Joe's music hits. Okay, so Joe's music, well, the first two times that we've seen him, he hasn't come out to his music on Raw. So now when we do hear his music, it doesn't click with me right away. I'm like confused. Like, whose music? Like, I should know his music. I should know his music, but because I'm watching Raw, it doesn't make sense to my brain. And then I'm like, oh, right. Samoa Joe. It's one of my favorite entrance songs. And it's still like, it's like short circuiting parts of my brain whenever I hear it on Raw. But anyway, he sideswipes Sami Zayn, and that's that. The last segment from Raw that I want to talk about, because there are surely others. Festival of Friendship. The Festival of Friendship, hosted by Chris Jericho to celebrate his friendship with Kevin Owens. Oh my God, this is like the best segment ever on any of these shows. And it wouldn't work with everything that leads up to it. So huge props to this entire storyline with the best friends, former best friends, Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. Oh, it's a sad, sad day in the WWE universe. Rest in peace, Jericho. But man, what an amazing segment. How does the amazingness continue from here? I can't wait to find out. I don't want to talk about the details of it. You got to watch that segment if you haven't already. Every beat of the story told in this Festival of Friendship, from the moment Jericho comes, he doesn't even come out first. Oh, the dancing ladies, the Las Vegas dancers, come out first, and then Jericho comes out, and he's got this crazy smile. It's like a deranged, he's just deranged with happiness, and that's his downfall. Like from that all the way to the end of it, amazing. We had friggin' Gilbert with the sparklers and the fire extinguisher. Oh, that was great. I loved it. And then we had the It joke across the commercial break. And I appreciate it. That's probably my favorite thing that has happened out of all of this, is that commercial break. It. So, yeah. Amazing. Last thing for Raw, the couple of moves that I really liked, or a move that I really liked that I didn't mention, was a moonsault by Charlotte off of the barricade. That was pretty great. But yeah, other than that, there wasn't really a whole lot of flash. We had a few moves off the top from Bayley. Really good. Really good. It was definitely the best match of the night. I'd say it's probably one of the best matches on Raw. Discounting pay-per-views, one of the best matches on Raw in a while. All right, so let's talk about main event, since we're talking about the Raw roster. Oh, man. Jinder Mahal. Maybe I just didn't notice this before, but I feel like he's like a freaking monster now. He's just like bursting out of his skin with his muscles. It's crazy. So we had Jinder Mahal versus Sin Cara. Jinder Mahal defeats Sin Cara with a neck breaker. And pretty fun match. And it's crazy to see just how powerful Jinder Mahal is. He's going to be doing some cool stuff soon, I think. But we'll see. We'll have to wait and see. Tag team with Rusev. They've already been a tag team in recent weeks. Handsome Rusev and Jacked Jinder. Oh, man. They could totally take out all the other tag teams to dinner. And then if you're watching on Hulu, the 27-minute and 25-second mark is the second match of the episode. Oh, yeah. We didn't get Austin Aries on this episode, which I'm a bit sad about. Maybe that means he's about to move on back into the ring pretty soon. I don't know. I'll be sad if that happens on one hand, but I'll be happy on the other because we'll get to see him wrestle, but we won't have him on commentary. Maybe he'll be able to do both. That'd be great. But we didn't get Austin Aries on main event. Instead, we had Byron Saxton, Tom Phillips, and R-Truth, who repeatedly, he's convinced that Byron is not Byron, but Coach from ESPN. That's a pretty funny running joke throughout the episode. I guess we'll see what happens next week. If we have R-Truth again or somebody else again, then I think Austin Aries is about to get back into action. We'll see what happens. We'll probably get an update next week on 205 Live, perhaps. Or even on Raw, because he does commentary on the Cruiserweight matches on Raw. But that 27-minute and 25-second mark match is Mustafa Ali and Cedric Alexander versus Tony Nese and Drew Gulak. Mustafa Ali wins the match by pinning Tony Nese after his signature inverted 450. That's always so awesome to watch. He's the most like a ninja. I've talked about this before, that the purple ninja mascot for 205 Live and the Cruiserweight Classic, that needs to be an actual wrestler at some points. It would be so awesome. And I think if anybody's going to play out of the people currently on the roster right now, Mustafa Ali has the moves and the agility and the kind of posture for that awesome ninja character. So, and his gear, at least in this episode, had a little bit of purple to it. So he's already like halfway there. He already has kind of an anime feel to his gear. It reminds me a little bit of Saiyan armor and whatnot, because you have the very bold lines of the six pack and stuff on his shirt and all that. So I think we gotta get Mustafa Ali as the Purple Ninja Cruiserweight Classic 205 Live mascot. Make it happen. And he could still be Mustafa Ali, like, you know, just do dual roles. Because he'd have all the ninja gear on, the mask and everything. So he could be both. It's a whole other La Luchadora type situation. Anybody could be that character. But for the most part, it should be Mustafa Ali because he can do all the crazy flips and stuff. There's a few of the guys who can do crazy flips. But anyway, that was a fun match. We had a really cool acrobatic DDT counter. Who did that? I think it was Mustafa Ali that did that, going into that 450 splash. We also had a like hand stuff by Drew Gulak on Cedric, and he like was working his hand and then got him down into a pin. And I thought that was kind of a creative little sequence there. And great match. I really like that match. I kind of wish it was on 205 Live instead of on main event. But, I mean, it's bonus match. Instead of just the three Cruiserweight matches, we got a fourth one right there. All right, so backing up to SmackDown Live. We open with the brand new WWE Champion talking his talk, which is always fun to listen to, I think. Sometimes it's a little bit weird and not doesn't make much sense, but this time it was great. Bray Wyatt. Why didn't I say his name already? Bray Wyatt, our new WWE champion. Cena comes out. He wants his rematch right away. AJ Styles comes out. He's like, I never even got my rematch. I want my rematch first. And Daniel Bryan comes out. He's like, oh, we've got a conundrum, don't we? Well, I guess we'll do a triple threat for the match. And you both get your rematches at the same time. And that doesn't... No. AJ Styles deserves a one-on-one rematch. What are you talking about? We get lots of disappointed letters coming in from around the world that AJ Styles deserves a one-on-one rematch. So perhaps we'll see that sometime soon. We have a lot of time before WrestleMania. We don't have any other SmackDown pay-per-views before then. So anything could happen. Really, anything could happen in the next six episodes. But before we get to that match, we had Dean Ambrose looking for Baron Corbin. He's got a score to settle. I guess he could have waited at the entrance, like when he got there. That would have been the easiest way to find someone. Not wait until you get there. Or okay. If Dean Ambrose really wanted to find Baron Corbin, he would have gotten there way early, been the first one of anyone to arrive, then he definitely would have found Baron at the entrance. But Baron Corbin probably got there first, so Dean couldn't do that, so he had to go searching around everywhere. Okay, so we'll return to that storyline in a second. We had American Alpha versus The Ascension. The Ascension looking strong again. I knew they weren't going to win in this match because it wasn't all touted up and all of that. But maybe we'll see them go head-to-head again before WrestleMania, and we won't have a tag team, the American Alpha, defending the championship at WrestleMania. Will we even have a tag team match for SmackDown at WrestleMania? There's a proposal. Somebody posited that they might have a champions versus champions match for the tag teams. And that would be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool. Except we already kind of had that at Survivor Series. Sort of, not really. Especially because the New Day got eliminated really early on, if I remember. I guess we'll see what happens. Anyway, American Alpha won with after hitting the Grand Amplitude. Backstage, Dean continues his search. He comes across Ellsworth and Carmella. I realize now that the C is Carmella's thing, but I'd say it also applies to the Chinominal one, the certified Chinominal one. Dean tells him, "Hey, she's using you, you dummy." And he's all worked up. Daniel Bryan comes over. He's like, "What's going on over here?" Okay, you guys can have a match against each other. I'm like, what? Things are out of control in this episode. Daniel Bryan is mad with power, and it's good. It's a good thing. They're getting all these crazy matches. So, Big Hog versus the Lunatic Fringe. Finally, retribution for the costing of the WWE Championship months ago. It's interrupted. Well, it's not even interrupted. Dean Ambrose makes his entrance by being dragged out by Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin hits a deep six into a table. Sparks go flying. Awesome moment. And the monster, the lone wolf, stands tall once again. So we'll see how that develops next week. Dean is taken away in an ambulance. He's okay. Just minor injuries. We'll see how he gets payback for that uncalled. Well, he was literally asking for it. He was looking for him the entire time. We'll see what happens with that next week. Natalya versus Nikki. They are talking to Daniel Bryan and they get into a fight again. Oh, it's getting ridiculous. They're on the verge of doing the idea that I wish we could see them do, or anybody do, of starting and ending every episode still fighting. And then fighting along the way to the next place. They were like, we saw them fighting in the opening of tonight's show, but we just came across this security footage from the airport. And you see just a grainy black and white overhead shot of them beating each other up with luggage and all of that. Yeah, maybe there are better superstars to fit that kind of scenario, but I would enjoy it. I don't know if it would have to be a set, not an actual airport. I don't think an actual airport would let them do that. But that's got to be easy enough. If this would have been the week to do it, though, because they were in Anaheim, they couldn't be. They could be closer, but that's as close as they'll be to, you know, all the studios out there and all of that. So anyway, they're going to have a Falls Count Anywhere match, Natalya and Nikki Bella, next week. So hopefully that's good. Hopefully that's good. I think it has potential to be good. Maybe one of them dies. Not actually dies, but they, like, accidentally, you know, on purpose, but, like, in the storyline, like, something really bad happens to one of them, and then they're, like, taken out. And then the other is like, oh, my gosh, what have I done? And then they end up at their bedside and bring them flowers every day, and we see that, like, highlights of that each week. And they're like, I'm so sorry. This is stupid for us to get into this and all of that. I think it would probably work with, it would work better with Natalya being the one to realize how wrong she was for, like, making things so personal and all that. Like, she's pretty, really mean. Nikki wasn't really doing anything bad. She wasn't being insulting, and, like, at least not on such a personal level. Yeah, that probably won't happen. But I think it'd be cool if it did. Not cool if either of them actually accidentally gets really hurt. Up next, Mickie James gets a rematch against Becky Lynch, who defeated her at Elimination Chamber. Mickie James wins with a tricky spin kick after pretending that her shoulder got popped out. So taking a play out of Alexa Bliss's book, she did the same trick like a month and a half ago. Becky, I'm not gonna blame Becky for falling for it, because it didn't really look like she looked really skeptical about it. Let's increase the skepticism to be on the defense when that kind of thing happens. Keep your arms up, keep your fists up, be ready for an attack. It doesn't have to look like you're going to be attacking them if they are actually hurt, but it wouldn't hurt to keep your dukes up in case it is a trick. So we'll see how that goes. Going on, this match was, I thought, more exciting than their match on Sunday. I was way more into it. There's a lot more kind of wow moments, and so I recommend it. I recommend it. Up next, the Little Flea takes on the Injured Glow, and the Little Flea is Alexa Bliss, and she's irritated. That's, oh, of course, now Naomi, now that she has a championship, now she's injured, so she doesn't have to defend it right away. Blah, 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 blah. And this feud will continue. They'll probably get their rematch game on sooner than later. Probably not next week, but like the week after that, I see them going at it. And if we end up with a Fatal 4-Way at WrestleMania, awesome. If we end up, whatever we end up with at WrestleMania, I just hope that it's exciting, and I think it will be. Up next, the main event, the triple threat for the WWE Championship, Bray Wyatt, who comes out on top. He pins John Cena after hitting a Sister Abigail on him, and another decisive victory by the Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt. Some great moments in the match were a big splash through the table by AJ Styles. Also, he had Luke Harper attack Bray before the match even began, so he was already at a disadvantage. Bray looks so good coming out of this, and more and more is like, yeah, he definitely... he's strong enough and skilled enough to be the WWE champion. There's no funny business about this. He's not cheating his way to it. It wasn't handed to him or anything. And in fact, quite the opposite, at least as far as this this match goes. He's outnumbered in both of his title matches so far. The target is on his back, especially in this match. So yeah, awesome stuff. After the match, did I say that sequence? It was into Calf Crusher, into the STF, into the Senton. I think I said that. Randy comes out afterwards, and it seems like it's going to be this face-off, that now they're enemies. They're going to be facing each other at WrestleMania. But no. Randy Orton says, as long as you're my master, I refuse to face you at WrestleMania. And he gets down on both knees to him, bows down to him. Like, wait, what does that mean? What does that mean for WrestleMania? Who knows? We'll have to wait to find out. But it, really awesome ending. It was like complete opposite of the Festival of Friendship. Great contrast between the two. And I'm excited to see what happens next. All right, so on Talking Smack, another fantastic episode of Talking Smack. Best moments are Alexa's on there, and she's trying to say something about the Patriots, how they lost, and then Daniel Bryan's like, no, they won the Super Bowl, and proceeds to pretty much the rest of the episode, not the rest of the episode, but the rest of the interview, just gives her crap for it, and yeah, hilarious. And Renee Young calls him out and says, you're the worst. You're the worst after Alexa leaves. Great follow-up to that. Apollo Crews starting his interview with, like, did you guys hear about the Patriots? Oh, why was she watching the game on the airplane? It happened a week before. She should have already watched it. Weird football watching habits, Alexa Bliss. And then we had a great interview with AJ. He is so mad that he didn't get a one-on-one rematch. He demands a one-on-one rematch. And he also has his hair tied back samurai style, and it looks pretty awesome. His usually super dumb soccer mom hair. No offense. I mean, that's like the point of it, right? It looks so awesome tied back like a samurai. And when at some point he's going to come out like that in the ring, and it's going to be like so freaking badass. Just like nothing else changed. Just his hair tied back like that. And it'll be like a friggin' night. What's the samurai or shogun? The shogun or like the rogue samurai, right? And he comes out like one of them and just like lays waste to everybody who comes near him and stuff. Yeah. I think that's coming for AJ Styles. He just destroys Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon to get his title opportunity back and to get his title back. And if he has to destroy the Eater of Worlds to do it, he will, because it's a friggin' shogun. No, it's not Shogun. It's something else. It's like, Rogue Samurai is called Ronin. That's it. Like Ronin. It's such a cooler, it sounds so much cooler than Shogun too. What is it? A Shogun is like military, I think. Yeah, military dictator. So it's different. Still deadly. But yeah, look at this friggin'. Look up some illustrations of Ronins and try not to imagine AJ Styles as one. Just try. Okay. You're probably kind of successful. But anyway, okay. That brings us to 205 Live. Awesome episode. I don't even know how to rank everything this week. I just know main event was at the bottom because it didn't have as much awesome stuff as all the other shows. Actually, 205 Live, probably second favorite. Raw, third favorite. SmackDown first, and then NXT, and then main events. Okay, so Rich Swann, in the opening match, defeats Noam Dar. Rich dedicates the match for Valentine's Day to Alicia Fox. So we get to hear him say it. And then we're subjected to hearing Mauro attempt the Fox. I'm not even going to try to imitate him. It would be even worse than his rendition. But the commentary alone on 205 Live is so good. It's so much better than any of the other shows. So much more entertaining. During one of the matches, we had Mauro call something a rabid lariat. And then Corey, I think he had a better name for it. This is during this match. Noam Dar hits the rabid lariat. Jeez. Tongue twisters. Corey says, oh, maybe we should call that the Scottish sickle, which I think sounds pretty awesome. But Mauro insists, no, it's the rabid lariat. Oh my God, I can't say that word. And after the match, Corey asks, what'd you call that again? The rabid lariat? I've never seen a lariat executed by a rabbit before. And so I had to draw that. I posted it on Ericature's on Instagram. I had to draw that rabbit executing a lariat. Anyway, Rich Swann wins the match, and then we're off to Grand Metalik, his debut on 205 Live versus Drew Gulak. Drew Gulak is dominant during the beginning of the match, but Metalik gets his groove and gets fires shot after shot after shot at Drew Gulak. He has some great high flying moves. There's this one jump to the outside that we get this replay, and Corey's like, look at this hang time he gets, and he starts counting along to it. It's like, yeah, I know it's in slow motion, but sometimes it's fun to pretend. That aside from the rabbit lariat, favorite commentary moment of the week. Oh, every single moment of commentary this episode is my favorite of the week. Metalik finally hits the Metalik driver on Drew and wins his first match on 205 Live. Great to see him back. And I can't wait to see him go up against Lince Dorado. Maybe they'll be saving that for a little while. But to see the two high-flying luchadors go at it, oh, I'm so excited. And to see Gran Metalik go against anyone is going to be awesome. Okay, so up next, we had a backstage segment where the Brian Kendrick offers to be Akira Tozawa's mentor. And I just acted out the posture that Akira takes, and you can't see it, so there's no point in me of doing that. But his response to everything is just, no! Fantastic. And Brian Kendrick is like, oh, okay, maybe there's a language gap. Maybe you don't understand what no means or even what I'm offering to you. Do you understand? He says, I understand you. I don't like you. Brilliant. Akira Tozawa, number one. Straight to the top. Not straight to the top, because we have the Jack Gallagher versus Neville at Fastlane before then. But Akira Tozawa, he's got to be the next champion after that, after whoever comes out on top at Kickstarter. Fastlane. That's a very different compound word than Kickstarter. WWE Kickstart. It's everybody who just made their debut is on that pay-per-view. So it's and then it's surprisingly good. It ends up being surprisingly good. Next up, we had Neville defeat Teddy Joystick Perkins with a double arm bar. That double arm bar is brutal, man. But yeah, pretty good match. I didn't take any notes about the actual match, but it was good. It was good. And afterwards, Gentleman Jack Gallagher comes out with William III. Neville throws William all the way back into the entryway. I thought that was pretty impressive. Although it is, the umbrella in its closed state is fairly aerodynamic. It's very similar to a dart. So I guess it's not that much of a physical feat to throw it that far. But I was still impressed. I haven't seen an umbrella thrown that far ever. So, I'll put that in my book of impressive things I've seen done until I see it done again, even further. What is the world record? Somebody tweet me with this, or I'll look it up myself in a few minutes anyway. I'll probably forget about it in a few minutes. What is the world record for the furthest an umbrella has been thrown, both open and unopen? So I think that has to be like a combination record, right? Throwing it open, that you could probably at most throw it like 6 feet, maybe 10 feet. And that's got to be, oh, you know what? You throw it really freaking far with wind. But I don't think that counts. It probably has to be indoor with no wind. But anyway, let's make that, if that isn't a world record, let's make it a world record and get Jack and Neville in on that action, because I think they both stand a chance. Jack is familiar with the umbrella, and Neville, on his first attempt, has already a great shot at it. Anyway, he comes out. They scuffle a little bit, but Gentleman Jack hits him with a headbutt. And it fends him off. It fends him off. So we have Jack Gallagher in the ring with the title in a suit. Oh, it looks so good with him. Oh, man. It's the WWE Championship looks awesome being held by Bray Wyatt. The Cruiserweight Championship looks even better with Jack Gallagher in his suit. Oh, it's fantastic. Is it technically a suit? It's not like a suit and tie party type of suit. It's more of like an everyday suit, like heading to work at the office, the accountant's firm, accountancy firm. What? But anyway, yeah, great segment, great ending of the show. And that brings us to NXT. It opens with Authors of Pain destroying their opponents. They hit a super collider on them after their win. Not so nice of them. Not so nice of them. They're being a little bit of bullies. A little bit of bullies. They are. We have Billie Kay and Peyton Royce versus Liv Morgan and Ember Moon. Is anybody really surprised that Liv Morgan chose Ember Moon as her partner? They seem like pretty good friends, or at least pretty good friendlies. Who else? She might have gotten Aaliyah, but then they definitely would have lost. But they lost anyway because Billie Kay hits Liv Morgan in the side of her face with her knee, as Peyton Royce holds her in place and gets the win. So a cool ending to the match. There wasn't as much comedic type stuff as we've had in the last few Liv Morgan matches. And it worked fine. It was good. It was fun. It was a fun match. Up next, we had DIY come out, talk about stuff, particularly getting a rematch with Authors of Pain. Authors of Pain come out. Paul Ellering says, make your peace with your loved ones before the rematch in 2 weeks. And right away, they say, oh, Paul, we love you. And all of that. It's, I didn't get it at first. At first, I thought they were just kind of being appreciative of the legend of Paul Ellering. But then when somebody pointed it out on a Reddit thread, I was like, oh my God, that is an amazing response. They're making peace with their loved ones so that they don't get killed by the authors of pain. And then we had the best match that I've seen on a regular episode of NXT. Tyler Bate versus Trent Seven for the UK Championship. Oh man, this match is so good. I am not even going to do it a disservice trying to describe moment to moment of what happened. I also didn't take notes about moment to moment. It's just an excellent match. My favorite moment was this single leg crab by Trent Seven. And it just happened so quickly. I wrote it down as a snap single leg crab, which sounds like he broke something. And it looked like he could have. It was just so freaking quick and out of nowhere. Oh, these guys are so much fun to watch, and I can't wait for the weekly UK show to start. It can't start soon enough. But in the meantime, if we have these UK matches on NXT, that'll give me that'll fill that scratch that itch just enough for now, I think. It's like having the mini episodes of the UK Championship show or whatever it's called. They haven't even announced what it'll be called yet. Next week, we have Mark Andrews versus Pete Dunne. That's going to be awesome. And who knows what we'll see after that. I'm excited. So that's it for this week. Like I said, I enjoyed every single show this week. So much cool stuff going on. Let me know what you thought about what happened this week and what you think will happen next week by tweeting me at TIW Podcast. Go to todayiwatched.com for more reviews. If you enjoyed this episode or anything else on the site, please share some links with your friends. Subscribe on iTunes, write a review on iTunes, and support the show even more at patreon.com/todayiwatched. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll be back for week 8 of WWE 2017. Bye.